It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Offensive side, it looked like last game, like Polk and Douglas were a little upset that they weren't getting the ball at certain points.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on the offense?
One thing I would say is, as a team, like, we don't want to show or voice our frustrations on the field like that, as visible to everyone. I will say, look, it's good to have guys that want to go out there and make plays, guys that want to go out there and compete. And it's a natural human instinct to be frustrated when things aren't going your way. Look, things aren't going our way as a team right now. And am I frustrated? You know, absolutely. But I understand that we have a lot of work to do. It's you know, the first quarter of the season. Now we're going into the second quarter of the season, and hopefully we're getting better.
Hopefully. Well, fingers crossed. Can get worse. I like in that comment, he's like, we don't want to show or voice our frustrations like that. Although I thought before he liked that, remember?
Yeah, I thought
there was a time where he was in favor of it.
I thought he wanted people showing their personality.
Right.
So like a month in, now he's the hard ass who's going to bench Ramondre Stevenson.
And maybe he's thinking about it.
You can't show your personality anymore when that was the whole idea.
I guess not.
So that already feels like we're teetering on something where we're getting a change or a pivot or, you know, this false identity from Jerod
and
Mayo.
An about face.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
And never mind, he says, we don't want to show or voice our frustrations. Well,
keep it balls up. That's what I do.
Those are two failures, Keith.
Just shove it down there.
Extremely healthy to do it that way,
yep,
too.
Do that, and then you'll never lash out on anybody. Keep carrying that around with
jam
you.
Jam it down and don't think about it.
Yep.
And then, you know.
Think of something else.
When it erupts,
really
it erupts.
Keeps those emotions balanced.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. No,
it's
agree.
The smart thing to do.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I
so
think
that's what he wants.
In 2024, that's what most mental health professionals would recommend.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, I'm very torn on this, as you can imagine, because I am 9 times out of 10 very pro receiver. The receivers are the most athletic athletes that are on the field. Well, they deserve the ball. They need the ball. They're playmakers. Go ahead.
Because I'm not sure everybody's aware of this. Did you know, and I was unaware of this until Mayo was getting asked all these questions yesterday. I didn't know that Polk and Pop Douglas were just like openly having terrible body language, stamping their feet.
I didn't know about Polk. I saw yesterday Pop Douglas basically like apologizing for it.
We'll get to that coming up.
Yes,
but
yes.
So, and we knew
that's what I didn't know in the live.
We knew Pop Douglas had already complained about not getting the football.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
happened earlier going into the Jets game a few weeks ago. So that's not exactly news, but I guess I didn't realize how bad their body language was in the game on Sunday.
So I'm torn on this because usually the receivers are right when they say they need the ball. Like, who's going to get it in the end zone? Like, these receivers, they need the ball. A lot of times the quarterback's not getting on the ball, etc.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yes.
Terrell Owens.
So you are talking about studs. Like, that's the thing. Like, if all of a sudden Jamar Chase and T. Higgins are like throwing their hands in the air, CeeDee Lamb, or, you know, pick a guy. Even this weekend, Tyreek Hill is on the sidelines having a little bit of a hissy fit.
Yeah.
Those guys need the ball.
Devontae wants out. I get it.
Get it.
Yeah.
Pop Douglas has played 18 NFL games. He has zero touchdowns. He has not scored a touchdown in the NFL. He had 49 catches last year.
In fairness, the Patriots don't score.
They don't, but neither does he. And so last year, he had 561 yards receiving for the whole season.
Uh-huh.
This year, and I know this is part of the problem, he's played in four games. He has 12 catches for 94 yards. 94 yards receiving.
Not great.
Which is like a good half for Cooper Kupp back in the day.
I believe he had 13 yards, yes, this past Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he had like 60 against the Jets.
Yeah. Well, that was a big game for him.
So I don't think I can, I don't know if I can take the receiver's side in this case. Those guys haven't proved a single thing. And yeah, they should want the ball, and the Patriots should try to get them the ball. But the way it is all set up right now, with the bad offensive line and the bad quarterback and the bad play caller, I don't know if they're going to be showcased too much. So I understand them being frustrated, but you also aren't really anybody to like have this kind of response right now.
Yeah, again, you're not T.O.
No.
You're not Keyshawn. You're not that level of receiver. So is this a problem for the Patriots? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. I believe Alex Van Pelt is talking now-ish. We're going to talk to Van Pelt tomorrow on a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We're joined by a coordinator every week.
That's right.
Our guy Jeremy Springer last week, maybe the only bright spot.
The special teams killed it last week.
Coincidence?
No.
We think not. We think not.
He was excellent on the show.
He was.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to talk to, there's our guy. We're going to talk to Van Pelt tomorrow and get some thoughts on players' frustrations, Ramondre Stevenson's fumbling problems, Alex Van Pelt's offense, which stinks, the lack of motion, the lack of, I just think, creativity in the offense. But to me, this is where you start getting in rocky territory with playing Jacoby Brissett every week. Oh, you can't have Drake May out there. Oh, you can't rush him. You can't put him in a spot. You can't set him up to fail. You can't ruin him, break him, all these things. Well, players are openly revolting on the field,
mm-hmm.
is what's going on. And, Keith, you referenced this earlier. Here's what Pop Douglas said. Phil Perry caught up with him, NBC Sports Boston, in the locker room yesterday and asked him about his poor body language and his lashing out on the field. He told NBC Sports Boston, that's horrible, horrible. The people who watch me, I don't want anyone seeing that and thinking it's okay. It's not okay. That affects other people, too.
Mm.
Probably Brissett.
Yeah.
People can take it and run with it, and it's something, and think it's something else. It's not. The stuff can hurt the team, and I'm not that person. I'm trying to help the team. He says he's not that person, but
no,
he's the guy who,
he kinda is.
After week
kinda
two, was complaining about targets,
yeah.
And now is openly that guy on the field. Douglas, and this is Perry writing, explained that his frustration wasn't solely based on him not being targeted. He finished the game with three catches on three targets for 13 yards. He made the point that it was about their struggles on third down.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound right to me, but whatever. That's what he claimed.
So do you think this is more a complaint at this point, Jacoby Brissett or Alex Van Pelt?
I think it's Brissett.
Okay.
But it's probably both. I think it's more about Brissett than Van Pelt would be my answer if you're going to make me lean one way or the other. But I bet they're frustrated about everything. Lack of creativity, the lack of targets, the lack of involvement, the lack of beat. We talked about Fred Warner's pick six. Brissett's wide open. Pop Douglas is wide open in front of Brissett. And so I think it's more about the quarterback. And I'm sure these guys who are practicing with Drake May and going, well, Drake May gets me the ball in preseason games and in practice. Mm-hmm. Why can't this bum get it to me? I think it's more about the quarterback, but I think the Van Pelt frustrations are mounting, Keith. I do.
Yeah, I think they're definitely probably annoyed at Alex Van Pelt and how the whole thing is set up. And, you know, we've already seen guys around the league, right? There was the meeting with the Bears where they were like, we don't like what's going on here. I think Jacksonville had one, right? And I think I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots feel the same way. Like, this is not the best utilization of us, right? Is we can think whatever we want of the receiving core. They obviously have confidence in themselves, and they feel like they're not being able to showcase it. So I think it is kind of a shot at both Van Pelt and Brissett.
But who do you think it's more about?
I think it's probably more about Brissett because he did 32 pass attempts. So it's not like they're running wishbone and they get like one pass a quarter, like 32 pass attempts. And all you have to do is find some of those highlight tapes where you're like, oh, there's an open guy missed. Oh, there's another open guy missed. And I'm sure there's a little, you know, annoyance at the offensive line being like, hey, give this guy like a half more second and maybe he can get us the ball. But there's enough times where Brissett has had time and either throws it away, throws it too high, too low, takes a sack, whatever, and they feel like they should be getting the ball. So if I had to put it in order, it'd be Brissett, Van Pelt, line. But I bet they're kind of annoyed at all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're all on the list. You know, never mind guys like Elliott Wolf for not giving them a better quarterback, giving them better linemen,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. Pop Douglas went on to say it wasn't solely about me not getting the ball. It was about us executing. It was third down. We were getting off the field, and some of those were turning points. It wasn't all about me getting the ball.
And you remember at the beginning of the year, he had a public goal of 1,000 yards receiving. he did. It's great to have goals.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. I'm going to be the first man on the moon. But his goal was to get 1,000 yards. He is currently on pace for 400.
Nice.
Just shy.
He says, I apologize.
So he's like 160 yards a game for the rest of the
yeah.
season.
Yeah, he's going to have to kick it up a notch.
I think he can do it.
Oh, listen.
I apologize to everybody who's seen it, honestly. He said, so I'm starting to wonder if he's like a bit of a problem. From what I've heard, he's been very, you know, nice at some of these season ticket holder events and things like that to Patriots fans. And but it's a guy who you had 500 yards last year and no touchdowns, to your point.
You're a sixth-round pick.
You're on pace for 400 yards. You're a nobody
right.
to be complaining like this. I'm starting to wonder if he himself is a problem, which I never really saw coming. But that's one to monitor. I'm not saying he is.
No.
But let's follow it, because after 2 weeks, he was complaining about not getting the ball. Now he's showing up his quarterback and his teammates in the middle of games. He's claiming it's not about not getting the ball, but we all know it's about getting the ball. It's not about third downs. If they were converting third downs, he'd probably still be annoyed that he wasn't getting the ball, just like he was after week one when they won. And so I'm starting to wonder if he's a problem. And again, I'm not saying he is. That's one worth watching, because that's two incidents already in a month.
It's odd, like, for this guy, you should have confidence in yourself. I'm never going to begrudge somebody for having confidence in themselves. They should, especially these. They're all pro athletes. But he's a sixth-round pick at a Liberty. He looks decent with this group because it's one of the worst receiving groups in the league. It might be the worst receiving group in the league. So just because you're the best or second best guy, if you were on another team, you're barely getting playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he a third or a fourth receiver on most teams?
I think on a good team, he is probably a fourth
third,
receiver.
Yeah, fourth on a good team, third on some of these other teams that are like really top heavy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like the Commanders, they have one guy a lot better, but they don't have two or three a lot better. But yeah, but either way, he's the best receiver on this team, but it'd be the only team. It's like Jacoby Brissett is the starter on this team.
Right.
And so the same way that Pop Douglas is the number one receiver on this team.
Yeah, so my solution, and if I'm going to take Polk and I'm going to take Pop Douglas's side, get KJ Osborne off the field.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, yeah. And they're playing more, and they're
Thornton.
Still not getting looks.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. Well, Thornton's had his snaps reduced a lot, but they should be reduced to zero. I'm with you on that. But, like, let's play the guys who at least flash a little bit or at least get open. KJ Osborne does nothing. And we could all see it week one. We all saw it after the Cincinnati game. I'm like, I don't need to see that guy. I would cut him now. I would cut him. He might be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't care. In fact, I think he is. You know whose life he saved, Keith? Do you know who? This is a true story.
KJ Osborne saved a life?
KJ Osborne saved a life of a man in a car accident.
Still talking trash to him?
I am. Do you know who that is? It's like your stance on Jacoby Brissett. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Sure, he's wonderful. I want you nowhere near the football field.
Do I know who he saved?
I believe you
Bruce
do.
Bruce Valanche?
No.
Legendary comedic actor Bruce Valanche?
It is sort of an actor. It's someone from a reality show.
CT?
Same show, The Challenge.
Bananas?
Nope. He saved the life of Nelson.
He saved Nelson's life?
Nelson was in a car accident, lost his leg. Nelson has his leg amputated from the car accident.
Wait a minute. When did this happen?
Google this. Last summer,
what
two summers
heck?
Ago?
Early I didn't know this.
Yes.
Like Corey's best friend, Nelson?
Yes. KJ Osborne saved Nelson's life, and Nelson has leg amputated
My
from a car accident.
My mind has just been blown.
How about that?
Last time I saw Nelson, he was competing in one of those challenges.
I mean, Nelson.
Holy mackerel.
Nelson is a challenger that I enjoy very much, or used to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Has he ever been back like as like a just like a part of the show or anything?
I think he might have zoomed in at one point. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I didn't know that, but Osborne saved his life.
Yeah.
Oh, is that when he was with the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
And
like driving home from a game or something and there was a car accident and he pulled over? Yeah.
Crazy, because I read that story, but I didn't know it was Nelson. I guess I didn't I remember like, was it Osborne and like another Viking maybe from practice and they were like, oh, heroes?
Yeah.
Holy, small world.
Yeah.
Small world.
Nelson.
So anyway, Osborne played 42 snaps. So last week, the Patriots had 64 snaps on offense. Polk played 53, which is the most of the receivers. Osborne played 42. Pop on the tape, Douglas had 38.
Yeah, so right there. That's not enough. Like that to me is Pop's biggest gripe. Why am I playing less than great guy?
Yeah.
But
hero.
Poor football player, KJ Osborne. Hero, KJ Osborne. Why am I playing less than him?
Saved Nelson's life. Booty 15, Thornton 13. So you're right. Yeah, Thornton. It's funny. Thornton barely played, but I remember him because he got blown up trying to block, and then he committed a penalty.
Yeah.
So that's why I remember him
nice.
More.
Yeah. Good performance. So keep an eye on Pop on the Tape Douglas. Pop off on his teammates and the coaching staff
Pop
Douglas.
Pop off on the team Douglas.
Keep an eye on him because all the complaints are starting to mount, and that's a situation worth watching.
Yeah, sure.
And again, with how bad their receiver room is, I really don't get the Patriots fans who are like, no interest in Devontae Adams.
Don't even bother calling
with how bad
you know
their receiver room is. I really don't get it.
You know what it is, Jones, and I kind of get it. It's the fear of rejection. You call Devontae Adams and he laughs at you. You're like, I wish I never called.
Right.
I felt better about my day prior to him laughing at
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you take yeah. the me at prom approach. Right? Yeah. Just don't ask anyone.
You're not going to prom?
Hope like somebody is just like left alone the night before prom and they're like, I guess I'll go with you. Fine. I take sympathy.
But yeah, my date got hurt.
Yeah, my sister's.
Your date got hurt?
My sister's friend.
High ankle sprain. Your date has a high ankle sprain.
Yeah,
you can't make it in. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what happened to you if you want to just meet up at the same time.
Yeah. Like, if you just want to take sympathy, I guess I'll go to prom. Otherwise, you know.
Scraps.
I am not going to be let down. This is a new caller, Keith.
Let's go.
Flex in Keene, New Hampshire.
All right, Flex in New Hampshire. What do you have?
Flex.
Hey, what's happening, guys? I'm enjoying the show. I'm glad you guys are on.
Nice.
My question is, how can the receivers ever be as good as a T.O. or someone else if you can't get them the ball? I mean, give them the ball. Let's see what they can do. Throw it up there and see what they can do, because if they don't have an opportunity, they can never get better.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a very quick turn.
Right? I was hung up on Flex.
It was a false tap. That was honestly a false tap.
Oh, my God. Flex, sorry about that. Great call, because he is right. Like, these guys need to be able to prove it. That's why we highlighted all the young receivers at the beginning of the year. It's also why you and I both want Drake May playing.
Yes.
Because I think he will at least give them more attempts. He might throw more picks than Brissett, but he's probably going to make more 20-yard-plus plays, more touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then give those guys a chance. Because I'm not writing any of them off, and I think maybe this is what Flex is thinking, too.
If I didn't cut him off, we would probably have had a great point.
But
Flex, apologies.
But, like, Polk and even Pop Douglas. We're just saying, all right, this guy's a little upset. He has no track record, but I get where he's coming from because, or Pop Douglas, I mean, I get where he's coming from.
It just rings
a little hollow when you have nothing to back it up.
Let me tell you this. I was a little bit intrigued. If I want to do some silver lining with Jacoby Brissett, I was intrigued that Jalen Polk got 7 targets last week and he started to get them down the field.
Yeah.
Like that play on the sideline, Brissett, just huck it up. Like what's the downside? Like
interception.
Yeah, he already threw an interception. They can't score. They can't move the ball. So, like, huck it up. I was mildly intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Mildly.
I like this text for the 4. CT was my wife's college boyfriend. Dude is a savage.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel great about that.
Well,
I heard a podcast with Bananas and CT.
Yeah.
And they were talking about CT on The Real World.
Yes. One of the great seasons, Paris?
It was, yes.
When we were in college, I think. Yes.
That's when he's going to work you, dog. When you got in a fight with Adam.
Yeah, I'll work you.
Remember he kept stealing, like, somebody's flowers and giving it to the girl that being yeah, like, these he was are like, me?
No, and he would, like, evade the camera crew when they were in Paris?
Yeah.
No, on my CT pulled out a Mike Tyson line. He said he would eat someone's children on the challenge. Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I did a deep dive into CT history a while ago because there was, like, one of these, like, MTV specials just on him.
Mm-hmm.
So
was it the one where he got married?
No.
Okay.
It was just like they were taking challenge, like famous challengers, and like doing like a
deep
one-off
dive.
Like biography almost on him. And it's funny. I always thought he was from Methuen because when they first introduced him on The Real World, they had the sign that says entering Methuen, you know, like right over the border. Mm-hmm. And so then they like cut to him and like his family and you're like, oh, he's from Methuen. Turns out no. He's from Charlestown.
I think,
and then when he was like 12, he moved to Tewksbury.
Is that what it was?
So he's from Tewksbury. He's not even from Methuen.
Yeah, I think he's got family in Charlestown for sure.
He still does,
yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah. He was there for a while. But then I think he played like D3 college basketball, which they never talk about on the Real World stuff.
CT.
I think he played college hoops.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't look like a hooper.
No, he doesn't at all. You know,
more like a mauler.
In fact, I think he lost to Teresa in a game of one-on-one basketball.
Well, Teresa, I think, was like D1.
Teresa was a basketball player.
And she's married to somebody on the New York Giants.
How about that?
Yeah.
It all comes full circle.
It all comes together.
You want to talk challenge? 617?
I will absolutely talk challenge.
779-7937. Happy to do it all day long.
All day.
Here on Jones and Keefe.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Again, I always felt like coming to the season, and we'll see how it plays out, that we might see Drake May get a little bit of experience at the end of the year. You know, the last two, three games. Maybe they decide they want to do it sooner. Maybe there's a reason they feel like he's growing enough in practice and absorbing enough that they can do it. But I always felt like that was the logical course of action. If we go back to the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes started and played the very last regular season game during his rookie year in Denver. That was the only game he played his rookie year. And the next year, they cleared the decks, and he was the starting guy. Now, again, if they want to take that page from the Chiefs playbook and apply it to May, I think some people would think that that might be a wise idea. But they don't seem in any great rush to get to Drake May right now, which is completely understandable.
Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Christian Arcand comes your way each and every day at 2 o'clock. I found that to be an amusing answer. I saw it on social media yesterday. Andy's reaction as Schefter is talking about how far away Drake May is and how they're in no rush to play Drake May, and maybe he'll get in for two or three games at the end of the year. Just watching the roller coaster of emotions that Andy Hart went through.
Like, what?
Silently. But just watching it in the clip very amusing to me. It's worth going and checking out at WEEI on social media. No one could possibly be happy with that timeline from Adam Schefter. It's similar to what Ian Rappaport said before the games even kicked off on Sunday. The Patriots don't sound like they are in any rush to get Drake May out there. Alex Van Pelt just wrapped up speaking. We just pulled the clip from him that we can go to here in a moment if we have it, Nick. And he's given the thumbs up. Mm-hmm. Let's hear Alex Van Pelt. Alex Van Pelt just moments ago on the timeline for Drake May.
Alex, with Drake May, instability up front with the offensive line, does that impact his development plan or timeline?
Right now, we're just trying to win games on Sunday. So, you know, I would say no. I think that we just got to continue to do what's best for the team and get us in position to win on Sunday.
Okay, so like answers like that are discouraging to me.
Yeah, but it's also, how can that be true? Is this really what we're seeing right now? Is really what's best for the team? Because that is, you know, Belichick would say that all the time too, and you could pick it apart any way you want. It's such a blanket statement because best for the team could mean anything, really. Yeah. Like, you could be talking about like the future of the team or the franchise.
Just gives you wiggle room.
But when he says we're trying to win a game on Sunday, all right, if you're going to stick to that, you really think Jacoby Brissett again is the best way to win on Sunday?
We're favored.
Oh, well, like, he's at practice. Like, he's seen it and like all that other stuff. And so, like, you can keep saying that, but how many bad games from Brissett do we have to see? Or even when the games aren't bad. So he played bad against San Francisco. The other games were sort of the classic, all right, I guess he did enough, or like he didn't kill him. But like, is that a good game, or is that just not a bad game?
No, that's a fair question. Look, I would say you would get more out of Drake May for sure.
Yeah.
I guess there's a positive way to read that comment, too. He was asked, does the instability of the offensive line impact Drake May's timeline? He said no.
Right.
So,
well, but at first he said, well, we're just trying to win on Sunday. So at first he was trying to not answer it. Then he kind of answered it, but he's suggesting that.
But in other words, the David, listening to Alex Van Pelt, and we should press him on this tomorrow, but listening to Alex Van Pelt, the David Andrews injury doesn't impact the timeline for Drake May. I guess there's a positive buried in there somewhere. By the way, if you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and you're in the Twitch chat, Ken Layard had a lead today that we're going to revisit in Misleading coming up. About 15 minutes from now.
A Ken Laird lead.
Yeah, I guess it was a Ken,
Laird lead.
A Ken Laird cameo today.
How do you like that?
In the leads.
You never know when he'll pop in.
He's referring to, I didn't realize this, he's referring to Drake May as Drake May Holmes. And he does, doesn't want to hashtag break Drake.
No, don't break Drake.
And so he likes that answer from Schefter. He likes that approach from the Patriots. Oosh. He wants Drake May to be like Pat.
It's a long year.
So we'll get to that in Misleading coming up. A cameo lead
from
Ken Laird this morning.
I'm all in.
On the Greg Hill Show. Stay tuned for it. 617-779-7937. I want to get the Thursday Night Football quarterback matchup is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to Jake in Boston on Gerard Mayo. Go ahead, Jake.
Boys, it's a lazy take that the head coach of the New England Patriots doesn't have the, you know, the testicular fortitude to pick the quarterback he wants to start. He is, after all, the coach. And it's lazy on not just the coach, but the reporters and the fans to think that the coach is not the boss here. If Gerard wanted Drake, Gerard has one move that can overrule anything that Nepo baby Elliot Wolf wants to do or wants to impose. And that is to go to Robert or to go to the press and say that Robert is trying to sabotage the man he grandstanded as the first African-American head coach in franchise history. He can use that, and because Robert is such a wuss and he cares so much about what people think and he's got to go answer to Meek Mill at Michael Rubin's next party, he will capitulate. So if Gerard wants to play that card because he wants Drake May and doesn't want to go 3-14, he can use it. And if he doesn't have the gall to use it, then that decision is on Gerard Mayo. It's Gerard Mayo's fault that Drake May is not there.
Okay, it's interesting that you
Who's
put it on
at?
Mayo.
I Seems
just
like everybody.
I think that's an extreme way to go about it.
Who is this versus? Who is
who
he?
Are we versus?
Who are we versus?
Who
right
are we
now?
Mad at right now?
I couldn't tell. So you just he made fun of everybody on the whole staff. So it was like, is he taking a
look,
side?
I'll at least maybe there's a kernel of truth in some of what he's saying there that we shouldn't give Mayo a free pass and just be like, well, this isn't what Mayo wants.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
But I also think it's early, it's still an early enough in the season. They're four games in, and Gerard Mayo's the one that referred to Alex Van Pelt as head coach offense, right?
Yeah.
So I think head coach offense as well as Elliot Wolf are probably making that decision. They probably also mapped out. They keep referring to a plan. Nobody knows what the plan is. The plan might have been week 8.
Yeah.
Oh, it could have been as simple as that. Like week 8, he starts week 8. We don't really know what it is, but I think another conspiracy theory that I don't know if you subscribe to is that Mayo and Wolf and even Van Pelt to a certain extent, it's like free time right now with Brissett, and they won't really be on the clock until Mayo starts.
No, I completely subscribe to that. Yeah. I think there's self-preservation there for Wolf and Mayo. I would just say it's insulting to Mayo to just the only card he can play is, oh, I'm the first African-American coach and applying that pressure to Kraft.
I don't think that has anything to do with anything
either
at this point.
But I think that's insulting and reductive to Mayo. But when it comes to him being able to be more forceful and impress on Kraft, that, like, I think we should play, if he really believes, and I think he does.
My guess, Mayo's not going to have to convince Kraft. If the fans are booing and leaving the stadium on Sunday, I think the Krafts will be the first to say something to the other
guys. Here's a question for the Krafts. Who are they listening to? Because I don't think Mayo and Wolf agree on the quarterback. And I agree with Jake on that. I think he's going too far with how Mayo should lean on Kraft for it. But I agree that Mayo wants to play Drake May. I do agree with that. So who do the Krafts listen to? Because I don't think Wolf wants to play May. So are the Krafts listening to Elliot Wolf?
I think they like Mayo more than Wolf.
Okay, so then
that's what I think.
Then Mayo should.
I mean, who's the Thunder Buddy?
Then Mayo should lean on his Thunder Buddy.
Yeah.
And not say, hey, I'm going to play up my race, but just, hey, Robert, I know you believe in me. You believe in my view. I'm here in the locker room. I know how the locker room feels about it. Our wide receivers are frustrated. Our whole team is frustrated. Our offense is 31st or 32nd. Depending on where you're looking at the rankings, I think we need to make a switch at quarterback. He could easily just do that. and lean on Kraft.
Well, couldn't he? Doesn't he? Like, shouldn't he have executive power? Like, even if Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt are in the room and they're like, "This is what our plan is," can't Mayo overrule it? And now that he has 4 weeks after Sunday, 5 weeks of evidence, can't he be like, "Listen, guys, I listen to you.
Yeah.
I listen to this plan.
Yeah.
It's not working. We need to change it." Because Van Pelt's the one that's going to still have to call plays for Drake May and still have to, you know, have a game plan for Drake May and everything else. I would hope Mayo would be able to have that kind of power and not even have to go to Kraft first.
It makes you think, who? I'm guessing Mayo wanted to play. It was Mayo's decision to play Drake May at the end of the Jets game. I'm guessing that was Mayo's choice.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know who else's choice it would be. Maybe Van Pelt?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it was Mayo. What happened after they played him in that game? Rap Sheet came out on the Sunday shows and said Drake May's nowhere near playing. So, like, did Mayo go AWOL there? Did Mayo try to...
Yeah, maybe, like, get out in front of it because it's like, oh, this is going to pick up steam now because he played.
Right. Did Mayo try to push the envelope by getting Drake May into the game? How did Wolf feel about it? How does even Van Pelt, who is, you know, the subordinate to Jerod Mayo...
All right.
How did they feel about that, and was part of the reason Rap Sheet came out before the game was played? And now Schefter is parroting some of that too. I'm not saying he's parroting Rap Sheet, but like the same sourcing probably. Was that a response to Mayo going AWOL and playing Drake May at the end of that game?
But if Mayo really wanted to push for Drake May,
yeah,
doesn't he call timeout at the end, see if he can throw a touchdown?
Probably.
I think that makes it like a little bit sweeter. You're like, and the guy scored one series and he
scored.
Good point.
That would really make his argument that much more strong.
I think it would push a little bit more.
Because who was really paying attention to like the timeouts and everything? The headline would be Drake May got him in the
touchdown
end zone when Brissett couldn't.
One for one on drives.
So, yeah, look, that's dysfunctional, by the way. If Mayo is running up the back stairs to his boss and kind of going over Elliot Wolf's head, like, that is dysfunctional. But if Mayo really feels strongly about it, that's a relationship he could lean on.
I feel like, as it relates to the relationship with the Krafts, if they go 3-14 or whatever it is, who do you think Robert and Jonathan are going to be most upset with?
I think
Elliot Wolf.
Yeah, I would agree. It's Wolf.
I think Wolf over Mayo, and not that they'd be like, "Hey, Mayo, like that was a tough year." Not that they won't have criticism for him.
I don't think the Krafts look at it and go, "Man, we had a good roster and the coach butchered."
100%.
I think they look at it and go, "We didn't give our coach a good enough roster.
The roster was so bad that we couldn't even determine if the draft was any good." Right? Like, hey, maybe it was a good draft. Maybe. But we haven't seen the guys play.
Drake May isn't out there. Polk, no one can throw him the football.
Javon Baker won't play for a variety of reasons. And the offensive linemen are hurt and out of there. Like, so we don't even know if those guys are good. So, like, what did you do? You re-signed a bunch of Belichick guys, which won 4 games the year before. And you might have gotten worse. You might have gotten taken a step back this year.
It's true. So you can jump in on this. 617-779-7937. Should Mayo, if he feels strongly about playing Drake May, should he start to flex his muscles on that and lean on Robert Kraft, his Thunder buddy, as Keith said? You can jump in there. Thursday Night Football tonight, Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield. These are, you know, not elite quarterbacks in the league. Are they top 10? Are Cousins and Mayfield top 10-ish quarterbacks
in the
league?
I think those guys, so every year I think there's like the automatic top five, and then there's guys that sort of jump up and down and like can have a top 10 season.
And these
guys
are capable of top 10 seasons.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins, people clown on because he loses all these primetime games and playoff games, but when you actually sit down and do the exercise of ranking quarterbacks, his time in Minnesota, he probably was the 10th best quarterback.
Okay.
And Baker Mayfield, I've always liked Baker Mayfield. I think he's had flashes of it, but he's probably not consistently a top 10 guy.
So is there something to that approach of, you know, and look, the winner of this tonight is probably in the driver's seat in the NFC South. We actually both have stakes in this game, Keith. You're very pro Mayfield and the Bucks. I've been pretty pro the Falcons.
That's right. Oh, yeah, something's got to give.
Barring a tie, something.
That's right.
Got to give. So what is there merit to that approach? Is there merit to, and it's different, Baker Mayfield was picked up off the scrap heap and then paid this offseason by Tampa. You know, he had flamed out in Carolina. He got a cameo with Sean McVay and the Rams,
which he claims helped save his career.
Turn him around.
Like just talking and being coached by Sean McVay.
Look,
but
maybe,
anyway,
maybe you see some of that with Sam Darnold, too, with his time with Shanahan. So, you know, he's off the scrap heap. Cousins, they paid through the nose for.
Right.
But is there merit to that approach at quarterback where you say, we're not going to swing for the fences. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go for the next Josh Allen, the next on a really, really high level Mahomes.
Yep.
We're going to bring in a veteran, and we're going to try to bring in a quarterback who is good, not great, and makes our team good, not great. Is there merit to that?
I think if you don't want to be this year's version of the Patriots, you know, recent versions of the Panthers, what we're seeing with the Titans, if you don't want to be the bottom of the barrel team for too long, then this is a good way to kind of jump you up.
Raises your floor.
Raises your floor significantly. I think the majority of Super Bowl contenders have a quarterback they drafted, developed, and paid. And, you know, we've seen now late in their careers, like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and even Stafford move teams, but that's sort of a little bit of an outlier. Those guys are old and kind of at the end. Like Mayfield and Cousins are a little bit different in the sense that Cousins hit the market and got paid a ton of money to go play somewhere, whereas Mayfield kind of started good and then became a project, bounced around, signed like a team-friendly deal, for, but then he outperformed it and then he got a good deal, right? So it's sort of a little bit different. As much as I like Baker, and even I recognize Cousins as a good quarterback, it like gets
you want to aim higher.
Yeah, it gets you to the playoffs, and you're like, all right, we're not a joke, but are you going to win the Super Bowl with these guys? I don't think so. So, like, again, you look back, and I know Brady and Mahomes are kind of hogging all the Super Bowls. So if you do any kind of like, hey, well, look at the stats tell you draft a guy in the sixth round or draft, you know, Mahomes. But for the most part, you look at the guys that are year in and year out kind of competing for it, like Burrow and Allen, even Jalen Hurts. I know it wasn't a first round pick, but it's still by that team, drafted and developed by that team. Those are more often than not the Super Bowl contenders.
I would want to aim higher.
Yeah.
And they're both, like you said, in the right year, they're top 10 quarterbacks. I mean, Mayfield's had a phenomenal start to this year. You know, Cousins, before he got hurt, had a phenomenal start to last year. Mm-hmm. But I want to aim higher. I wouldn't feel good if that was my quote unquote franchise quarterback, my number one quarterback.
Like,
I wouldn't feel good about that.
You won't have to wear a 3 or 4 win season where week to week you're like, oh my God, this is hard to watch. Right? Like you'll have more entertainment value, you'll have a functional offense, you'll maybe even win a wild card. You might win a division, depending on what division you're in. But I think ultimately you're gonna run into someone else and you're gonna lose.
Yeah, I mean, and really the Atlanta approach is probably the best of both worlds. They have Cousins in the meantime, and they're developing Penix in the background.
I still thought that was so high to take him. I mean, it could work out for him, but that I was floored when they took Penix.
Well, and like it might also been nice to draft. I don't know. Like, was Odunze available at 8? Like, who would be a weapon that would possibly be available to Atlanta that they could then supplement Kirk Cousins as opposed to having a guy like Penix waiting in the wings? 617-779-7937. That's Thursday Night Football tonight. Some quarterback approach conversation you could jump in on. And speaking of the approach at quarterback and Drake May, we'll get to misleading. Take from boss man Ken Laird next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was. So
on Jones and Keith.
Each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We'll get back to the Patriots and the Dolphins. How are the Patriots favored? Still perplexes me. We started talking about this yesterday, the reception at Gillette if things don't go well for the Patriots. It's only their second home game.
Yeah.
And things are starting to circle the toilet.
A lot has changed since their last home game.
Is this where public pressure starts to rear its ugly head and, you know, start to change the trajectory of the quarterback decision? I will get back into that coming up at noon. But speaking of that decision, Ken Laird made a cameo appearance in the leads today.
How do you like that?
He was
up early.
I didn't realize they did like celebrity cameo appearances in the leads.
It's like at 6:20.
You get like a celebrity shot in beer pong. You know what I mean? You get those sometimes. True. Yeah. No, the leads are early.
Early. Wow. So early bird does in fact get the worm.
It's true.
Is what I've heard.
Can't argue with that.
All right.
And we're all, I would say, as a station, I don't hear much of the don't play Drake May crowd.
Don't play Drake?
I hear a lot of the
play Drake.
Get him in there. We think he's better.
the opposite of this,
right? It's shocking because there's a lot of fans out there based on the Greg Hill Show poll earlier in the week.
It's like 50-50, which is shocking.
But in terms of people at this station, I don't hear a lot of the don't break Drake crowd.
I think there was some.
He's a member of Don't Break Drake. Drake Mahomes is how he's referring to him now. Take the approach with Patrick Mahomes. If it was good enough for Mahomes, it should be good enough for Drake May. Your thoughts?
It's outrageous because this situation couldn't be more different. That Kansas City Chiefs team had Alex Smith. Now, I'm not trying to talk Alex Smith into the Hall of Fame or anything, but Alex Smith was a very competent quarterback. And the fans were able to watch a playoff season. That was a very good double-digit win team coached by Andy Reid. They were going in the right direction. They knew they had a guy in Mahomes, who they also drafted 10th, right? Not 3rd.
Yep.
And they were able to, that was the approach that they wanted, but they also got to enjoy good football during the course of the year with a good team. So when Mahomes did take over, he was already in a spot to be in a good position. This is so much different than that. This team might win one game all year, might win one or two games. And learning from and watching Jacoby Brissett is not even close to the same thing as an Andy Reid, Alex Smith team.
No. And furthermore, you do look at Patrick Mahomes now and go, did Patrick Mahomes really, he needed a year to sit? He wouldn't be the same player if he didn't play. I heard Chris Curtis say this morning. What if he went out there and played as a rookie?
Maybe they win the Super Bowl.
Well, maybe they win the Super Bowl that year, which has always been my argument.
Yeah, like, okay.
But like, maybe he's just that much, maybe he has a playoff run under his belt and he's that much more ready for Brady and the Patriots coming into Arrowhead that year. And that overtime get, like, maybe yeah. They're just in a different spot. Maybe they win that year where they got bounced in the AFC title game. Maybe they don't win when he's a rookie. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But an extra year of Mahomes, they might have an extra title. It could play out way differently. So for everybody who says, oh, well, Patrick Mahomes needed that seasoning, my guess is he didn't. If we're going to play the Mahomes game, which is what Ken's playing,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Mahomes needed. He threw 50 touchdowns his first year as a starter. He couldn't have thrown 25 as a rookie.
No, and it's not like he went to North Dakota State or like one of these like schools. Like you could see maybe redshirting a guy that's just such a project. He was lighting it up. Now his team wasn't anything great, but he was lighting it up. They're still one of the greatest college football games of all time. If you like points and passing yards,
I do.
Patrick Mahomes versus Baker Mayfield. Do you remember that? Oklahoma versus Texas Tech?
Yeah.
They both throw for like 700 yards. It was like the most insane game ever.
They had 700. I think Baker had 5.
They like both were setting records. They both would have set records if the other didn't outperform in that game. Yeah.
Unbelievable. But my point was Baker Mayfield was the number one pick in the draft the year before and was a good rookie and was on a horrible team, but played really well with Cleveland. I'm just saying, same conference, great head-to-head matchup, and we know how Mahomes panned out, but yeah, I don't think you can just say he's great because he sat. I'm with you on that. Like, how do you know? Like, he wouldn't have been good right away?
Like, I hear this all the time with Brady. Do you think Brady would have been the same player if he played right away? Yeah. Yes, I do. I think Brady would have been. I think he would have been.
He was more of a project, though, than even Mahomes or Baker.
Okay, I agree with that. But, like, let's just, you're going to doubt Tom Brady because they played him a year too early?
Right.
So now Tom Brady goes from being the greatest player of all time to a bum because he played too early? Yeah. I don't buy that for a second. Not 1 second. And furthermore, I think Mahomes learned more by playing his first year as a starter.
Oh, Ken's in the Twitch chat now.
I think Brady learned more by playing in 2001 than he did by sitting in 2000. What's Ken saying in the
Twitch chat? He has a quote from Mahomes who is basically saying that I would have had some success if he played as a rookie, but I don't think it would have happened as fast. I wasn't supposed to be playing. I was supposed to be learning.
Well, guess what? It would have happened faster if he played because he already would have been out there.
Yeah,
I don't care what he says.
No, that's just him because was he going to bash Andy Reid who made that decision, who was his current head coach?
Right. Thank you.
Also, so, just to correct somebody on the text line, he says, everyone saying play Drake said Mac was ruined by playing too early. That couldn't be further from the truth, because at least you and I haven't said that. I can't speak for everybody in the world.
Mac wasn't ruined as a rookie. That's the stupidest take.
He was better as a rookie. So if you waited till his third year, he would have started with Patricia and Judge. How would he have done then?
Seriously.
And then if he couldn't play him then, he would have sat out his entire rookie deal. Is basically what he would have done.
Why did the Chiefs play Mahomes in a game his rookie year? Why'd they do that? Why'd they start him year two? Why didn't they sit him for like a third or a fourth year? Why didn't they just keep sitting?
Yeah, like Love and Favre.
Yeah, like Mahomes.
Sit him forever.
If they just sat Mahomes for like 3 or 4 years, imagine how good he'd be.
Forever.
Right? Just think about that.
Well, so
if they really let him marinate and really let him get good, really just sit him. And then Mahomes never would have lost. You never would have lost that Super Bowl to Tom Brady.
No
way. If you set Mahomes for an extra year.
Might not have lost
Let's play that game.
Might not have lost the game. I don't think,
Ken's still on the Twitch.
Ken's fired up.
Don't you have meetings to go to? You got work calls over there?
We were talking about him in the lead.
Zooms, and I just did my Odyssey training. Don't you have things to be doing there, Ken?
I crushed that training, by the way. I'll email you my certificate.
How many times do you have to take that quiz? Just the one?
It's none of your business, Jones.
Don't tell me you passed the quiz the first time.
I have good reading comprehension.
I very much failed that quiz. More than one
time.
Don't
tell Ken that. He's going to make you take another one.
617-779-7937. That's a cameo from Ken Laird in the leads this morning.
Now he's diving in the Twitch chat, fighting with everybody in there.
Say, Save it for Ken and Curtis on Saturday, would you? Save those takes.
He wants you to make an Instagram account.
Sit on those takes. And say, is that what he's lecturing me about?
Yeah, he's like, get Instagram.
Get on the gram.
I'm losing this battle. Let's get back into the Patriots and the Dolphins this Sunday. That's next. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.